Scripture reading for today be found at Ruth 1, 1 to 18. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judea went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the names of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judea. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives, the name of one Orpah and the name of the other Ruth. When they had lived there for about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons or her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had had consideration for his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you in your house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept. They said to her, "No, we will not. We will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I have sons in my womb that may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, even if death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. And in the New Testament, Mark 12, one of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. Let's come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, help us to learn to love you, to love ourselves as you love us, and to love our neighbors. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember when I was in seminary, one of our professors saying that when we preach, we should preach with the Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other hand. I remember thinking this is particularly brilliant of this professor to say, and then he told us that it wasn't his idea. It came from another theology professor named Karl Barth. The quote is actually, "Take your Bible and take your newspaper, read both, but interpret newspapers from your Bible." Anyone know who Karl Barth was? A few people. Karl Barth was a professor in Bonn, Germany, before the Second World War. When other Christian theologians and leaders were beginning to go along with the popular opinion of the time in support of the National Socialist German Workers' Party under the leadership of Adolf Hitler, Karl Barth said the church could not support such a movement. He wrote a document along with other people called the Barman Declaration, which in part said that the church could not be under the power of the state. The church could not support the Nazi Party. And then he sent a copy of it personally to Adolf Hitler. Shortly after that, he was told that he needed to pledge allegiance to Hitler, as did all the university professors. He refused, and he was removed from his post at the university in Bonn. He ended up back in his native Switzerland, and he continued to lead what was called the Confessing Church, being one of the leaders of that, refusing to go along with the Nazis. Preach with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in another. The Bible helps us to interpret the world around us, including our current world and current political situations. So what's in the news today? The big thing that seems to be dominating a lot of the news today is the caravan of people heading to the U.S.-Mexico border and the response of the U.S. administration sending some 15,000 troops to defend the border. And of course, you know this is not an isolated incident. In fact, it's not even an unusual incident in that this happens on an annual basis. But the same thing has been happening all around the world. There, as of the end of 2017, there were 68.5 million people forced to leave their homes because of war, because of violence, because they just couldn't live in their own countries anymore. 40 million of those 68.5 are displaced within their own country. They don't leave the country, but they're having to move out of where they are because of the war, because their cities are being bombed. Certainly the case for many in Cameroon. 25.4 million refugees are forced to leave their own country. And then there's another 3.1 million on top of that who are what's called asylum seekers. People who have sought refugee status but have not yet been approved as refugees. Newspaper in one hand, the Bible in the other. Our reading from the book of Ruth this morning is the story of a pair of asylum seekers or refugees. And our gospel reading is about loving God and loving our neighbors. And then how do we love God? Jesus in the Gospel of John especially reminds us that if we love him, if we love God, then we'll keep his commandments. And then he turns around right away and says, and this is the commandment, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. In the Gospel of Luke, this command to love one another elicits a response from a person asking the original question, who is my neighbor, though? A question to which Jesus responds with the parable of the Good Samaritan, a parable about seeing others who are different, who are outside of the comfort zone, our circle of friends, our nationality, our culture, even our religion, as our neighbors. Samaritans were not good friends of the Jews. Who is my neighbor? All God's children all around the world. All those created in the image of God, they're all our neighbors. The story of Ruth and Naomi is the story of neighbors too. Naomi and her husband had two sons, and because of famine, they were forced to leave their own country and go to the country of Moab, which was a foreign and Gentile nation. In many ways, the people of Moab were among the most despised of the neighbors of the Jewish people. Ask me a little bit later about the origins of the Moabites and the tradition of where they came from. And yet Naomi and Naomi's two sons moved into this place, and then the two sons married women from Moab. Then before they could have children, Naomi's husband and two sons had died, leaving Naomi and her two daughters-in-law, both women from Moab, Ruth and Orpah, alone. The three of them were widows, and Naomi was in a foreign land. When famine comes to Moab too, on top of losing her husband and two sons, Naomi decides it's time to go back. It's time to go back to Israel. And she tries to convince Ruth and Orpah to stay in Moab with their extended families. Let them take care of you. It may not be safe where I'm going. It's hard to believe. It's hard to imagine what it must have been like for them. These three women, on their own, they'd all lost their husbands. Naomi had also lost two sons. They had no one to care for them, and it wasn't as though they could just go out and get a job at that time. The only chance they had was to return to their families and hope that their own families would care for them. Eventually, Naomi convinces Orpah to return to her family. Stay in Moab. Stay with your people. But Ruth refuses. You try and get into the mind of Ruth, and what was Ruth thinking when Naomi was saying, go back, and Ruth says, no, I'm coming with you. I imagine Ruth was worried about her mother-in-law, Naomi, making that journey back to Israel all on her own through the wilderness. I imagine Ruth was worried about what might happen to Naomi when she got back to Israel. Ruth decided that she would stay with Naomi for the rest of her life. She would leave her own people. She would leave the people of Moab and stay with Naomi. They had a better chance together than either of them on their own. But Ruth was a foreigner. She was a Gentile. She was a Moabite. She was a refugee. What would happen when she got to the border with Israel? She might not be well received by Naomi's people, among the Jewish people, since she was a foreigner. What life could she possibly have there? And yet at that moment on the border between Moab and Israel, as Ruth is trying to decide what to do, to go back to the familiar or to go along with Naomi, as a foreigner in a foreign land, Ruth chooses love. She chooses to stay with Naomi and to care for her instead of worrying about herself. It was one decision in one moment in time. She could not have known what that decision would have in terms of impact for the rest of her life, for Naomi's life. But Ruth chose a path of caring for others rather than looking at her own self-interest. That's the scene that gives us this most beautiful passage we heard this morning. Ruth says to Naomi, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, and I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." And with those words, Naomi and Ruth head off on a journey to be with Naomi's extended family in Israel. As it turns out, Ruth's decision, though a difficult one, is made in love and caring for others, turns out to be a good decision. And it would change not only her life and Naomi's life, but the future of all the Jewish people. You see, when Ruth arrived in Israel with Naomi as a refugee, Ruth was shown mercy and love as well. She was cared for by a man named Boaz. In time, Boaz married Ruth and looked after Naomi too. And Ruth had a child with him, and they had a family. Ruth made her decision to stay with Naomi based on faith and on love and on caring for others instead of looking out for her own self-interests. Ruth's decision turned out to be pretty good for others as well. The child Ruth and Boaz had was named Obed. In time, Obed grew up and married and had a child named Jesse. And in time, Jesse grew up and married and had a child named David, King David. And so this foreigner, this Gentile woman who chose to care for Naomi, in time became the great-grandmother of King David, the ancestor of Jesus, since Jesus was of the house and lineage of David. This is the root of the meaning of the book of Ruth. It's a reminder forever for us and for the Jewish people to care for the foreigners who are in our midst. Because if Boaz had not shown mercy and care and love for Ruth, the foreigner in their midst long ago they never would have had King David. What does it mean that loving neighbor is also loving God? Who is my neighbor? To love our neighbor brings with it fears. It brings with it uncertainty. To love ourselves is also to accept that we are imperfect people and begin to accept other people's imperfections too. To love them and ourselves despite imperfect ways. The most powerful way to bring positive change in people's lives is to show them love and acceptance and community, and the love and acceptance due to all of God's children, and to leave room for God to do whatever changing God wants to do. As I've been watching the news and reading the newspaper, holding my Bible in the other hand, I keep hearing the words of our familiar hymn, The Servant Song. We are pilgrims on a journey and companions on the road. We're here to help each other, to walk the mile and bear the load. I will hold the Christ light for you in the nighttime of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, speak the peace that you long to hear. I will weep when you are weeping, and when you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I'll share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this journey through. We are pilgrims on a journey and companions on the road. We're here to help each other, to walk the mile and bear the load. We are imperfect people, drawn together by God and God's love for us, to learn how to love and serve God, to learn how to love and accept each other and those we meet, and to learn how to love and accept ourselves. By God's grace, we'll do this with all of our hearts and our souls and our minds and our strength. In Jesus' name, amen.